Hi, Michaela Lafrac here. The podcast you are about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Michaela Lafrac. 2023 has been a particularly hard year for Vermont's shelter workers, from the state curtailing its motel housing program to the ever-worsening effects of the opioid crisis. But for the staff and clients at the Groundworks Collaborative in Brattleboro, the challenges go far beyond that. In April, a shelter coordinator was killed, allegedly by a Groundworks client. But through it all, the nearly 50 Groundworks employees have continued to do their jobs helping others. Groundworks is now in a state of transition. Last month, Groundworks Executive Director Josh Davis announced he's leaving for a new role after 8 years on the job. Former Brattleboro Town Manager and Groundworks Deputy Executive Director Peter Elwell will serve as the interim leader. Both are joining me today. Josh and Peter, welcome.
Thank you, Michaela. Good to be here.
Hi, Michaela.
Now, Josh, as a shelter operator in Brattleboro, you're in a really unique position to know how many people are unhoused and how much demand in that area is surpassing supply. What can you tell us about the numbers of people who are facing homelessness in the community?
Yeah, I think from my vantage point, we have a significant number of people who are needing support with housing. You know, our shelter on South Main has 28 beds right now that are consistently full, and we often have a wait list of folks looking for shelter. And the motel program, while it has made some changes and is winding down a bit, albeit slowly, still has, you know, over 100 participants in that program the last time I checked. And then we have additional folks that are in the community. And it's hard to put a specific number on that, but we have seen that number increase over the last few months of people that really have no place to go and are camping out, whether it's downtown or somewhere in the community more broadly.
And when you say 100 participants in the motel housing program, you mean for people who are kind of based in the Brattleboro area or in the county?
In the Brattleboro area, okay. Yeah, here locally.
And Peter, from your vantage point, do you feel like the needs for the types of services that Groundworks provides have been increasing?
There's no question about that. We've seen over the course of the last decade increasing need. Fortunately, in some significant ways, Groundworks over that period of time has developed increased capacity to provide support to people who are experiencing homelessness in this moment, and also people who are maybe have been homeless and are moving into housing but need continued support in order to maintain stable housing going forward. There's a variety of different ways beyond just the emergency overnight shelter that we provide support to people in the community. And both from my prior vantage point as town manager and now from being part of the team here at Groundworks on a daily basis, there's no question that this need has significantly increased here in our community over the last several years.
Well, let's learn a little bit more about Groundworks and the services the organization provides, particularly for our listeners who are outside of the Brattleboro area. Josh, you started at Groundworks as a volunteer 14 years ago, I think it is. What drew you to the organization?
Yeah, I did start as that's correct. I did start as a volunteer. I was working with an organization that would glean vegetables and then work to get vegetables into low-income communities. And so that organization has become Food Connects, which is a really strong organization locally. And so as part of that, I would go into Morningside Shelter and help out with their community meal. That would happen once a week. And really just being a part of the culture and being able to experience that, being able to connect with the people who were there, I immediately fell in love with Morningside. And just started, I started hanging around the organization. And so I was a volunteer. I worked an evening shift for a while. I was a board member. And then 11 and a half years ago, was appointed the executive director. And so at that time, it was just Morningside Shelter that I was director of. And when I came in, that organization had a budget of roughly $400,000, and we had about a dozen employees. And a little over 8 years ago, Morningside merged with the Brattleboro Area Drop-In Center to form Groundworks Collaborative. And now we have over 50 employees and a wide array of services that we provide, from the shelter that I mentioned on South Main, that is an emergency overnight shelter, as well as a day shelter for folks to come in. We have FoodWorks, which is a food shelf here locally. We are partners in with Wyndham and Windsor Housing Trust on two permanent supportive housing projects, Great River Terrace and Dalem Chalet. And the chalet was a project that we really pulled together during COVID and used COVID funds to try and come up with a solution to help people exit the motels and enter permanent housing. Then we have case management services that supports folks in an array of housing situations, from literally homeless and on the street through a leasing up process, and even stays with folks after they are housed to help ensure that they maintain housing. Additionally, as we were talking about the need for our services, we're able to be innovative and creative. And a great example of that is our HealthWorks partnership that we have, a partnership with Brattleboro Memorial Hospital, the Brattleboro Retreat, and HCRS to provide a community health team for folks that are most vulnerable in our community and the folks that we serve at Groundworks.
And Josh, from being a volunteer 14 years ago to the executive director of Groundworks today, it's a fascinating path that you followed, and in some ways that path is coming to an end at the end of this month when you'll be heading to Southeastern Vermont Community Action. Why did you decide that this was the time to move on?
There were a couple different factors that led me to this decision. I think it's clear, and I talk a lot about my affection for Groundworks. I love this organization. I love the work that we do. And there's an intensity to it. And I think the intensity is something that I've just looked at for my own personal well-being. And also thinking about, you know, what's next for me in terms of a professional challenge, and wanting to stay rooted in this community in Southeastern Vermont, a place that I've happily call home. I love being here and raising a family here. And so when the job at SEVCA came open, it seemed like a great next step for me individually, but also be able to stay within a similar field of work. SEVCA has been a long time great partner for the work that we've done at Groundworks. And it helps me to expand my vantage points and impact regionally.
Now, Peter, you know, hearing Josh describe the work that Groundworks does as both, you know, deeply meaningful, but you know, also potentially personally challenging. I wonder how you felt with the ask to step into this leadership role. Any concerns? Any particular hopes for what you'll be able to accomplish?
Sure. Hopes, yes. Concerns, not any that are too significant. I think is important to note why I'm involved with the staff at all. Might help explain how this transition, that we're moving into this transition, feels really natural and not overly daunting. This is a really big moment for Groundworks, and it's also a moment that, through Josh's leadership and the work of many others here on our team, we're ready for. And part of that is that a little over a year ago, I went on to the Groundworks board. I had done a lot of work with Josh and other members of the Groundworks team while I was town manager, really admired them personally and the quality of the work that the Groundworks has been doing and the importance of that work in our community. And so one of the things that after I retired from being Brattleboro's town manager that I really knew I wanted to be involved with was supporting Groundworks. And I did that initially as a board member. But as we got into the winter months last year, it became clear and was a decision that we made mutually that I could probably actually contribute more and better by coming part time onto the staff and supporting Josh and other members of the leadership team in the work that we do here. And that's when I stepped in as the deputy director. with the perspective that I bring now to this moment from having worked with the staff now since last the end of February of last year, I feel really both sufficiently informed and prepared for the responsibilities I'm going to carry, and also really confident of the abilities of the team, both within the leadership team and the different people who are responsible for our various programs, as well as, you know, all the folks who are delivering the services in those programs every day. We've been through a lot this year, and that has made us stronger in many ways. And over the longer arc from before this year, this team has been building its readiness to go through a transition like this, which is really inevitable when somebody like Josh has been so integrally involved in building it up as a founder, really, from the merger forward, and expanding the services in so many different ways. There, you know, really inevitably would have come a time when we would go through this kind of a transition. Fortunately, Josh saw that coming and has done a lot of really good preparation for it.
Mm. Well, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with the executive director of Groundworks Collaborative, Josh Davis, as well as the incoming interim leader, Peter Elwell. If you have volunteered with Groundworks in the past or another nonprofit working on housing and food insecurity issues in your community, join our conversation. Give us a call at 800-639-2211. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this conversation, many shelters are facing very real challenges right now. But I can't think of another place that has gone through what Groundworks's clients and staff have gone through this year. So let's pause and talk about this for a moment here. In April, a shelter coordinator there was murdered in front of a number of witnesses and on video surveillance, and a Groundworks client has been charged with that murder. It was a devastating, shocking event for the organization, for the Brattleboro community overall, for all of us who followed this story. Josh, how are things feeling now? Let's start with staff. How are your staff doing?
Thank you for asking. You know, I would say, in my estimation, overall, we're okay. And I don't think we would be okay if we haven't spent so much time investing in our collective healing. We remain in a healing process. This is not something that we feel like is done and we are clear of. You know, just a week and a half ago, there was somebody that showed up on our property and brandished a hatchet, which really was traumatic, for lack of a better word. And it's something that we continue to grapple with and work with on almost a daily basis. And we have an incredible staff who show up. We have an incredible team in terms of our board and support and leadership team that are doing everything that we can to support ourselves and our clients as we go through this healing process, while at the same time continuing to provide services. And, you know, a big piece of this was initially in the days right after April 3rd, we made the decision to pause, to close the organization, which on retrospect was, I think, a really wise thing to do, to allow us just to make sense of what had happened and to figure out how we were going to put one foot in front of the other. And we couldn't have done that without the support of a number of community organizations who stepped in to help us out. Because, you know, one of the things with Groundworks is we never close. And that was evident during the pandemic when folks were transitioning to work from home and Zoom culture really started to take off, is when we really showed up and we were there in person, and we didn't have the ability to do that. And, you know, the pandemic was a really scary time and folks were not really sure what we were dealing with and what does it mean to be in public and how do we show up in those ways. And our staff were right there on the front lines. And so to be able to pause was really a profound moment for us, and to be able to sit with what happened and figure out how we're going to put one foot in front of the other really set the trajectory for us on this path of healing that we continue to be on.
Josh, we can, you know, hear the emotion in your voice when you talk about the role that folks in the community played to keep Groundworks going in the wake of this tragedy. I can only imagine how impactful that felt for you and other staff members to see so many people show up. And reading about it really was an incredible volunteer effort there. Peter, what do you remember from that time?
Yeah, I remember very vividly the day that we asked for that help. And it all came together really quickly, as you can imagine. Leah had been murdered on a Monday morning. Tuesday and Wednesday, we were trying to find our way forward and realized that we just couldn't just, you know, go on and with anything resembling normal operations. And so Wednesday, we reached out to as many of community partners as we could gather onto an email list and asked that people show up the following afternoon in a big conference room up at what had been the Austin School and is now the Winston Pratty Center. And we were hoping maybe because it was such short notice and such a big ask for people to come and work with us on how they might hold parts of our work for 3 weeks was what our ask was. We were hoping that maybe, you know, a dozen or 20 would show up, and in a room that comfortably holds 100 people, there were people lining the walls and spilling out into the hallway. And you do hear emotion in our voices, because to be supported in a moment like that by the broader community is just amazing and something we'll never forget. And it made it possible for us to go into what we've called the Groundworks pause and do the work that we did really intensely during that time, in beginning the process of trying to understand and trying to begin healing, and also the organizational work of, you know, how will we be different when we come back out of the pause, open back up on May 1st. And really the story since then has been those parallel processes of dealing with the, impossible to fully address or really, and never understand the loss of Leah. Leah, as not only in the manner that it happened and being, you know, at the hands of a client, but a person who was particularly devoted to this work and effective in this work, and a beautiful person that was a friend to us as well as a colleague. And so the magnitude of that loss was so great personally, and yet not just because we're all committed to the work, but also in part to honor Leah because of her commitment to the work. We knew we had to come out and be stronger and do better. And we, I think, have lived that since May 1st in very many different ways that make staying aware of issues of safety and focusing on how we can reduce risk, not just for employees, but for program participants and other people in the community as well, how we can, you know, really make a constant part of our work, paying attention to those issues, and still be, not putting barriers between us and the people we serve, but maintaining relationship and communication and service and support.
We're here discussing the difficult recent past and hopeful future of the Groundworks Collaborative, a shelter and resource center in Brattleboro. Our guests are the nonprofit's outgoing executive director, Josh Davis, and new interim leader, Peter Elwell. In April, a beloved shelter coordinator was killed at Groundworks, allegedly by a client. And Josh, as a result of this tragedy in Morningside House, Groundworks was issued a fine recently by the Vermont Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, for workplace violations. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what that process has been like, that review process, and how you have been able to increase worker and client safety.
Yeah, that's great. I would say, working with VOSHA has been, it's felt more like a partnership. than it has felt like a state agency out to find wrongdoing. Mm. And so definitely because of the nature of what happened at the shelter, it triggered VOSHA and the process to come in. And so they were on site, they interviewed a staff member, and then they released a citation that had a fine that went along with it. And as part of that process, we met with our contact at VOSHA to walk through the six recommendations that they had made. And quite honestly, by the time, you know, this VOSHA piece is coming around, basically we're still in that process. We're at the tail end of it, but we're still in that process. And we had done a bunch of work, you know, in the pause and coming out of the pause to really solidify a lot of organizational change and pieces that were already in the works, but the pause allowed us to accelerate and deepen that work. And then being able to work with a third party who, you know, I'd characterize VOSHA as an expert in workplace safety to provide their feedback as well has just bolstered and rounded out the approach that we're taking. And so I think it's easy, and I believe in the previous segment you were talking about, you know, how do you report in terms of things that are going on, not to instill fear or really try and and excite that kind of frame. And I think it's easy to say, you know, we're under investigation and Groundworks has issued a fine. But, you know, an alternative headline is VOSHA partners with Groundworks to accelerate healing process after tragic loss, which I feel more in the spirit captures the work that we've done with them. And again, grateful to have Peter as part of the organization. And Peter's really taken the lead on connecting with VOSHA and leading that process internally.
Yeah, Peter, what are your thoughts there since you've been so closely involved in the process?
So I'd like to amplify what Josh said about the how it has felt collaborative and like partnership with VOSHA and put a little finer point on the timeline. So he was speaking about the work that we had already been doing in April, coming out of the pause from May through the summertime. VOSHA, the dialogue with VOSHA really began while there had been some contact during their investigative phase. Our dialogue with them really began at the end of August when we received the citation. And so from the end of August to the beginning of November, we've been in this process together where there's both an administrative component to it and a more legal or quasi-legal component to it that's a much more formal process that attorneys are involved in. And those have run in parallel. And I think it's important to note that because of the way in which we've worked together, because of the good faith that we've shown on the Groundworks side about work we already were doing, and then the way that we've listened to the guidance that we've received from VOSHA and have blended that into the actions that we've been taking around risk reduction and increasing safety. Determinations that VOSHA needs to make in the more official and formal side of this, the legal piece has actually led to a settlement of that matter with a reduction of the fine by half. So we're going to pay a fine, but it'll be half of what the initial amount was that was determined based on the investigation. And that reflects the work that we've been doing on the administrative side since late August. And we're coming to near the end now of the administrative process where based on both the initial citation and the settlement of the legal side, there are some obligations we have to demonstrate that we have very specifically done certain things in the area of safety around specific procedures and certain kinds of training, particularly geared towards communication and raising the capacity of individual members of our team to deal with recognizing and addressing potential violent situations before they become violent situations. In that broad body of work, there's some very specific things that we need to do to demonstrate to VOSHA that we've been listening in this partnership and are implementing what they've asked us to do. And as Josh indicated, we're in the very final stages of that. We actually have an administrative a meeting with the person who's been responsible for the administrative side of this next week. And we're confident that that will be the moment when we're able to bring the official VOSHA piece of this to a close. But I want to stress that what we have learned throughout this experience and some of the particular things that have added value to that learning and to our follow-up on it from the VOSHA process, all of that continues. This is feeling much more like a launch of something that is really becoming part of our culture at Groundworks, to be paying attention to these issues on a everyday basis rather than as an occasional, sort of check-in around concerns for safety. That's gonna keep going. And VOSHA has helped us to establish that.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see the list of measures recommended by VOSHA to make Groundworks a safe space for all. There were recommendations like instituting a weapons screening process, establishing designated areas for de-escalation of clients, having security present during working hours. Josh, I'm wondering if you could talk us through some of these. What is being implemented, and what might take more time or resources than is available right now?
Yeah, I think going through the list, we've implemented and started doing some of that work. Some of it is around de-escalation for everybody in the organization, which we are doing. There's some other pieces around facilities and I should note that the VOSHA investigation was specifically for Morningside House. And so after the pause, we reopened as an organization, but we have not reopened Morningside House.
Right.
And so that program remains closed. But what we have done is taken those recommendations and added it into the work that we're already doing for agency-wide programs. And so we're not just limiting this discussion to what goes on at Morningside, but thinking more broadly about the implications across our organization.
Peter, Josh, did you have something?
I was just going to say, if Peter had comments on specifics around implementation.
Yeah, sure. Peter, I would love to hear that. But also, I'm curious, as the leader of Groundworks moving forward, what you see as the future of Morningside House?
Sure. Yeah, I'll speak to that. I think Josh has adequately addressed the way in which we've taken the things that VOSHA raised to us as issues around Morningside House and made them part of the broader work we're doing around risk reduction across the whole organization. So I'll speak to Morningside House, where, it took a while for us to be able to go back into that space and clear things out of that space and begin a process of imagining what it might be able to become going forward. And we're still not certain at this point that Groundworks will operate a program there, although we're very much open to that possibility. We're also open to other, alternatives of how people can be served on that property and in a meaningful way going forward. And it may be us and it may be someone else. What's really clear, though, is that in order to start making decisions about that, we have to get our arms around the scope of what needs to be renovated within the space in order to make it possible for anyone to operate a shelter or provide other support services there. And so we have hired some construction professionals to begin that process. We will, over the course of the next several weeks, receive from them advice around what just sort of a cleanup and reopening might look like on a small scale for something that could happen quicker versus, medium and larger scale scopes of renovation that might really transform the space into something, more state of the art for these kinds of services. That obviously would be a significant undertaking that would involve, capital fundraising and other sorts of things and would have a longer term to it. And that concerns us. We're excited about the potential to do something on a larger scale, but also concerned about the fact that there's a housing crisis and an increasing amount of homelessness in Vermont. And we were operating a program there that at one time had 30 beds and then after COVID was still operating with 20. And those are beds we need in our community. And so whether it's going to be right there at Morningside House or in some other location, we are committed to, pushing forward into planning what putting that programming back online in our community looks like.
Well, listening to to you both discuss the future, it makes me think about the fact that after any tragedy, there's a fine line to walk between planning for the future, between looking ahead, making changes, letting go of what you can, and also staying in grief in a way that feels like it's honoring the person who has passed, and also holding on to that person's memory. Josh, I wonder how you see the staff at Groundworks and the Brattleboro community more broadly holding on to that memory of Leah and preserving it, even as the organization moves forward.
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's continuing to show up in the work that we do with an open heart. I think after we go through something that we went through and experienced the trauma, we have a choice. You have a choice to close that and operate from a place of fear and really closing down. And we experienced that internally and had discussions about that, really grappled with who we were going to be coming out of this. And Leah so embodied approaching the work and the people that we serve with an open heart and with love. And I think if nothing else, that has been a guide that has served us incredibly well to this point, and I would argue will continue to serve this organization well into the future.
Mm-hmm. And what, in your last few weeks with Groundworks, what do you hope to, maybe accomplish isn't the right word, but what do you hope to be a part of?
In my last few weeks at Groundworks, I have 15 days left at the end of the month. I'm wrapping up my tenure with this organization, and it's really about connection for me, connection with the staff, connection with the clients, having a process of saying goodbye, and in its own way, it's a grief process. I'm really excited about what's next for me individually, and looking forward to joining the SEVCA team. There's going to be great things happening with SEVCA to build upon the great things that are already happening there. And this place has been incredibly meaningful to me and shaped me who I am as a person and a leader. And so just honoring that transition in a way of saying goodbye.
And
Michaela?
Yes, please, Peter.
I could offer something about that from the broader community perspective. I think, you know, anybody who lives in Brattleboro or has been involved at all with Groundworks in one way or another and knows Josh isn't surprised by what you're hearing today from him. But for those around the state who might be becoming familiar with Josh for the first time, you know, the person that you're hearing, the whole person who comes to this work, you know, not just professionally, but with, you know, full commitment to himself, from himself to the work, to the community. That's who we get. And that's why we at Groundworks will really miss Josh. We'll miss the pleasure of working together with him daily, and we'll miss his leadership. And we also recognize that this is really a good moment, not just for Josh in his career, but for our community. There's a body of work that, you know, is large and growing larger and super important on a human level and on a community level, and social services. And Josh has taken on a larger role by making this move, and he's going to be benefiting our area through that work that he'll continue to do. And he leaves behind a legacy of having built up such a strong operation here at Groundworks that, you know, we feel good and confident about our next steps forward too. So we hope that the community can join us in feeling celebratory about this passing of the baton.
Well, we can't wait to see what you both and what the team at Groundworks does next. Josh Davis, the outgoing executive director, and Peter Elwell, the incoming interim leader of Groundworks Collaborative, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Michaela.
Thank you.